You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Paul Eales.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Denmark's Lucas Bjerregaard claims his maiden individual tour title with victory in the Portugal Masters.
Feels very good to come out on top. I've had a few looks at it before, but to finally do it feels really good. You know, fighting for my card and all that stuff. So to have a really good event here and to come out on top is feels amazing, to be honest.
Stay with us as we review all of the action from Vilamoura before we look ahead to the British Masters supported by Sky Sports and the return of Rory McIlroy on the European Tour this week. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and this week I'm joined by Paul Eales. Paul, how are you?
I'm in great shape. Dan, thanks for having me along this week and looking forward to reviewing what was a great tournament down in the Algarve.
It was indeed, especially for Lucas Bjerregaard, who produced his best performance of his career at the perfect moment to claim his maiden European Tour title at the Portugal Masters. And to a certain extent, it had been a long time coming because we know what a talented performer he's been on tour. He's not managed to get the job done, individually at least, until now.
Well, that's right. You say individually, but there was a Golf Sixes earlier on in the year that he won, didn't he? He was a European amateur champion. He did virtually everything he could do as an amateur in the continent of Europe, came onto the European Tour and played a lot of weeks. You know, he's one of these guys that loves his golf. He likes to play. Not being at the top of the leaderboard as often as you think his game should be, but you could say that of quite a few players, couldn't you, Dan? But it was great to see him not only win his first event, but the manner in which he won it was really special.
16 players within four shots of the lead heading into the final day. Lucas was a shot clear of the chasing pack, but there were some good players just in behind, some tall winners, the likes of George Kurtzier, the likes of Graham Storm. But Lucas Bjerregaard birdied the first, and I guess if you birdie that first hole when you're out in front, it settles the nerves. He's not done it before. He played the opening eight holes in four under par. He was doing little wrong.
Absolutely, and not unexpected again, because we know the game that he's got. He was long, he was doing well on the par fives, and like you say, a great start. Four under through eight holes, makes a bogey at nine with a... It's a tough hole, the ninth, anyway, and he fluffed a bit of a chip shot, but then he came straight back with birdies at 10 and 11, so he was back in the saddle again. So things were always... Momentum was always going his way, put it that way.
And those of the chasing pack just couldn't really lay a glove on him. Mark Warren secured two birdies early on, then he dropped a shot at seven, didn't get it back until 10. George Kurtzier was good, but not quite good enough. And there were players coming from off the pace that just were unable to put the pressure on Lucas, because we've seen it previously with the day, and he has folded when in contention. But when you're always keeping the field at two or three shots at bay, it just gives you that inner confidence, I would imagine.
Yeah, it does. And you know, nobody was able to make birdies. Obviously, Mark Warren, he eagled 17, but he was way back at that point. But you know, Eddie Pepperell only made one birdie and eight pars on the back nine, so he wasn't having a run. You mentioned George Kurtzier there. George birdied 10, seven straight pars after that, and then a triple to finish with. So nobody really put the heat on him. But Lucas was in control of his own destiny. You know, he played ever so well. Everything looked smart. It looked polished. He looked as though he was actually enjoying the experience.
What is it about his game that you've liked over the years that have marked him out potentially as a winner on the European Tour?
Well, everything about him. His swing looks good. He puts nice and solidly. He is one of the nicer guys. You know, some of the reaction on social media was saying, you know, it's great to see one of the good guys winning yet again on the European Tour. So he's well thought of by the guys around. So even though he's been having, should we say, troubled times on the golf course and not having the results, his personality has still shone through and everybody was delighted to see him win.
He held enough putts as well, didn't he, from 15 foot, from 20 foot. He was putting one or two close as well, driving the ball very well. He had a four-shot lead down the last. But the last is tricky, isn't it? Because there's an awful lot of water around and George Kurtzier hit that triple bogey. You can't take anything for granted.
No, there's water all the way up the left-hand side and it eats into the front left side of the green. There is a bailout to the right, but if you do go to the right with the rough and those bunkers, the likelihood is of getting it on the green is hard. You know, he played it well, but when you've got those shots in hand, you can sort of cruise your way down the last. So it'd have been a different story had he have needed to have made par.
We've mentioned a number of the players that were trying to chase him down, but of those players, the likes of Mark Warren, the likes of Ricardo Gouveia, they're hoping to keep their car for next year. Is a win, I know it sounds strange, is a win paramount in their mind? They're three or four off the pace. They know if they can finish second or third, they'll get a big check. Are they really looking to push, do you think?
Very difficult to answer that. You've got Mark Warren, who's won three times, I think, on the tour. You know, he was down at about 180th on the race to Dubai, so he needed a big week. He showed a little bit the first two rounds in Holland, but faded on the weekend. So that was, take it in context, the week for Mark Warren was massive, and I think it moves him up to 100th spot on the race to Dubai. So was he really thinking about the win? Was he thinking about his place in the field? I'm not really sure, but it was a lot of money for him, a great week, and hopefully that can be the springboard for Mark to go on.
Well, I'm pleased to say we're joined by the latest European Tour winner, Lucas Bjerregaard. Lucas, congratulations. You must be pleased not only with the win, but the manner of your performance in Portugal.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm very pleased. It's nice to finally get my first win. It's been 4 years on tour, and obviously I've not had the good year I've been looking for this year. So to finally come through and get my first win, and as you say, in the way that I did it, feels really good, and feels even better today.
Lucas, very well played. You won the inaugural Golf Sixes. How much did that help you coming down the stretch? Was that in your mind that you'd been a winner already this year on the European Tour?
Obviously, winning the Golf Sixes gave me a bit of confidence as well, but it feels like it was a long time ago now. So to be honest, that wasn't in the back of my mind too much. But yeah, these last few weeks I've been playing a lot better, and I've been slowly building my confidence up, and the way I've played this week, obviously, it felt really good. So there's no doubt that the way I started yesterday really gave me a lot of confidence to make those early birdies, and I felt like it was my time to go out there and grab it, and I feel like I did that, and I'm very proud of that, to be honest.
Great start to the final round, Lucas. Until that bogey on number 9, what was going through your mind at that point as you went towards the 10th tee in the back 9?
I felt very confident, and maybe that's where I went wrong on 9 a little bit. Maybe I was a little bit too confident. I had a not that great of a lie in the rough, and I missed just that a little bit and got a flyer and hit it to the one place you can't hit it, over the green there on 9, facing and basically an impossible up and down. So a tough 5 there. I just made birdie on 8 and felt like I was playing really good, but then again hit a couple of good shots on 10, made a nice putt, and then maybe hit one of the best shots all week on 11 there to a couple of feet, which gave me a little bit of a cushion again and definitely boosted my confidence.
You've had a fair few top 5 finishes, led 3 times going into the final day, but what was it about your game that finally made you a winner on the European Tour this week?
Yeah, I don't know if it was much about my game, but obviously I've learned a lot from being in that situation before. And as you said, I've been there a couple of times, not really had the result that I wanted. But slowly I feel like I've been better and better at it. I shot first time I was in the final group on a Sunday, I shot 89. So I've been a little bit better, and obviously had a good battle with Justin Rose in Hong Kong, finished 3rd a couple of weeks later. In the second final group on Sunday, I've learned a lot about myself, how I handle myself, and how I react to these situations. But there was something different about yesterday. I definitely felt like it was my turn. I think I felt before that, you know, it kind of has to pan out in a way. It has to happen for me. Where yesterday I was more aware of making it happen for myself. So a little bit of a different mindset yesterday, and I think that's the big key.
And of course, your tour card was under pressure. It's a great way, isn't it, to make sure you've got your playing privileges for next season?
Yeah, I mean, it was coming down there, I knew I needed a couple of good weeks to keep my cards. So to come out on top feels really good. It's been a really tough year, and I've struggled a lot with finding my game. And the confidence hasn't been very good either. So to finally have, I had a good week in Kron. And at that time, I wish I was actually going to KLM to play, because I felt like it was going somewhere. But then had a good week off, got some work done, and then, yeah, came down to Portugal, a course that I've done well on before and that I like. And yeah, it's just been an amazing week.
Ryder Cup captain Thomas Bjorn, fellow countryman Lucas, I'm sure he's been in touch with you. Is your mind leaping forward to Paris this time next year?
I have been. He was actually one of the first people I spoke to on the phone after. He's been a big help, and so have all the other Danes, especially some of the older guys that have been good with advice and any help. And obviously, I've maybe seeken a little bit more advice this year with not playing as well. But yeah, it's nice to get a call from him and all the other guys. And obviously, there's nothing I'd love more than play on his team in Paris next year. But it's a long way until we get there, and I'm just happy with how I played and handled myself this week. And you know, it's given me a lot of confidence going into the next few weeks. So hopefully, I can continue the good form, and you know, I'd love to be there come next year.
Lucas, now you've won once, we expect you to be on leaderboards more regularly. You're playing at Close House this week. What sort of chances?
Yeah, I'm going to see how I react after a win. I'm driving up there today and taking it pretty easy, and then I'll probably play 9 holes tomorrow, and then, it's business as usual, I guess, giving me a bit more belief in myself, and yeah, I hope I can just continue the form that I'm on. I wouldn't mind that at all.
Lucas, well, we've really enjoyed watching you play in Portugal. We wish you well for the remainder of 2017.
Thank you very much.
Well, time to hear from a few of the other top performers in Portugal. Mark Warren came into the week down at 173rd on the race to Dubai, but boosted his chances of retaining his card with a second-placed finish. His closing 67 included an eagle at the 17th.
I knew kind of middle of the back nine, Lucas was kind of a few in front, so I was just trying to finish as best as I could. Once I birdied 15, par 16, you know, I was just trying to finish one under for the last two, to be honest, and hit two absolutely perfect shots and finished off with a perfect putt in 17, and just couldn't bring myself to hit the putts firm enough at the last. They were straight into the green, and you know, it's something I struggled with most of the weeks, leaving kind of longer putts short, and bit me a little bit at the end there. But like I said, one out of the last two holes, I was really proud of that. The green seemed a little bit softer as well, which helps approach shots, and all day I drove the ball as good as I possibly could. Iron play wasn't quite as sharp as it could have been the front nine, but you know, absolutely no complaints. I think I was 3 or 4 under, something like that, back nine, so I'm really pleased with that today. Just nice to be pretty much 100% fit again, driving the ball as well as I have done. If I keep that sort of driving stats up, and you know, short game's pretty good, so I think we can, you know, have a good strong finish to the season.
Well, we hope so, because he's a popular performer, Mark. Second in Portugal, hasn't really done too much for one reason or another this campaign. 14th in Denmark back in August. Great to see him in and around the leaderboard, the top of the leaderboard again.
Yeah, very much so. It's difficult to know what's actually gone on with Mark this year. You know, if you look through the records from the events, like you said, the Made in Denmark was the best week he's had, finishing, what was it, tied 14th. But there were signs last week. He opened 69-67 in the KLM and was up there before fading on the weekend. But he is a class player. Subtle things can happen, you know, things at home or child starting school or having an illness. Things that we don't know about can affect the player's performance. So something's gone on with Mark, obviously, because we would expect so much better from him, being the quality of player that he is.
Second on his own, aided and abetted by the fact that George Coetzee had that triple on the 72nd hole, so that earned Warren a few extra ranking points. Elsewhere, Graham Storm and fellow Englishman Eddie Pepperell tied for third on 15 under. Let's hear how Pepperell rated his bogey-free 68 on Sunday.
Boring. No, frustrating more than boring. It's never boring, obviously, on a Sunday, being in contention now. I played steady. I had my chances, you know. I stuck to my game plan, and it... Yeah, if I'd have held a couple more putts, you know, easily could have shot 5 under par out there, and that might have ended up finishing second, say. But it's a good week. It's another good week. You know, I'm playing well, so there's lots of really, well, there's really hardly any negatives, to be quite honest with you, and there's a lot of positives, you know. And I'll be in next week now up in Newcastle, which is great. play the Dunhill Links. Got an invite there, so there's lots of golf still to play, and I'll actually, you know, in climates and courses that I'm probably more suited to, you know, with my body fat. So I've got lots to look forward to.
That was Eddie Pepperell speaking about his game and his conditioning. Fifth in the Czech Republic, third in the Netherlands, third again in Portugal. He's putting a very good run together at the moment.
Yes, he is. And I love Eddie's rationale and his reasoning behind performance. Have you read any of his blogs, Dan?
I haven't, no.
You must read them. They're really entertaining. They're from the heart. And some great insights there. And he just says it how it is. Really, really good guy, Eddie. And it's great for the European Tour that he's actually performing and is at the top end and having some media attention.
A word on Graham Storm, tied third alongside Eddie Pepperell. Final day, 67. Another solid performance.
Yeah, I mean, just can't imagine the emotions 12 months ago when Graham bogeyed the final hole on the very same golf course to then what he thought was to lose his playing privileges. It turned out that Patrick Reed didn't get what he needed to get. Stormy was back in, and then, of course, he goes down to Joburg and wins down there at the South African Open. So what a turnaround in the game, and great to see Graham up there. And, of course, he'll be looking forward to the coming week up in his home area of the northeast of England.
Tied fifth were Ricardo Gouveia and José Felipe Lima as they recorded the joint best performance by a home player at the Portugal Masters. The previous best, incidentally, was Ricardo Santos' 16th place last year. And Ricardo was quick on social media to praise the fans. He says, thanks to these amazing people and all the fans that came out to support me this week. There was huge cheers for Ricardo when he popped in his final pot for a last day 65. He's another good player that potentially, a little bit like Lucas Bjerregaard, and a number over the course of 2017, could be in the winner's enclosure sooner rather than later.
Well, you see the scores, you know, finishing with a 65, 14 under for the week. You know, potentially, yes. And to do it in front of your home fans, that's not only great for them, but obviously for him as well to have that home support. Never always easy to play in front of your home crowd. So a fantastic week for the two Portuguese guys.
We need the top 10 from the Portugal Masters. Paul.
Tied seventh, Ashin Wu, Sebastian Soderberg, Nacho Elvira, George Coetzee and Dean Burmeister. Fifth, tied José Felipe Lima, Ricardo Gouveia. Third, Graham Storm and Eddie Pepperell. Second on his own was Mark Warren and the Portuguese Masters champion for 2017, Lucas Bjerregaard.
And remember to go to the European Tour Twitter and Facebook pages to see the best shots of the week, as well as other great content. Moving on to the Fantasy Race to Dubai tips from last week. Robert Lee was in this seat 7 days ago, alongside your good self, Paul. And Rob went for Shane Lowry, who was tied 29th. And an outsider, as he called it at the time, Alex Levy, who was so much of an outsider, he didn't even start. Yeah. He should have looked at the running order, really, shouldn't he?
Rob was very cruel about
yes,
you,
I know.
Anyway.
I'm trying to return the compliment, but I'm too nice for that, Paul, as you well know. You went for Thomas Peters, 74th, and Dean Burmeister, who was tied 7th.
Yeah, what a call, because he'd been injured, not played a lot, but a very, very good and accomplished player. So I was delighted with that.
In the Fantasy Race to Dubai game, Elizabeth H heads the global standings, while Evandro Trapletti won the most points last week. And in the Race to Dubai Show Mini League, the Sean Ryder Cup, Neil Morrison still leads the way, but Dani Delgado did best out of the Portugal Masters. Remember to head to europeantour.com for their Fantasy 3 to watch this week. As regards the Race to Dubai standings, we need the updated top 10, Paul.
In 10th place, we've got Rory McIlroy. 9th is Bernd Wiesberger. 8th, Ross Fischer. 7th, Justin Rose. 6th, Francesco Molinari. 5th, Alex Noren. 4th, Rafa Cabrera-Bello. 3rd is John Rahm. 2nd, Sergio Garcia. And leading the way again this week is Tommy Fleetwood.
Lucas Bjerregaard is now 47th in the Race to Dubai rankings presented by Rolex. He started the week in 114th position. Only the top 100 keep their cards. And he was outside the top 10 on the access list as well. We're getting to the business end of the campaign, Paul. There are players that will be desperate to keep their cards. Sometimes it will only take a handful of euros to make sure that they've got their playing privileges for next year. And there are a number of players who will be desperate to pick up some some decent finishes between now and the end of the season. And there are some very good players on the bubble of both lists that we've got to look out for, because it's players around that 100 mark on the Race 2 Dubai rankings. We've got the separate access list as well. For example, Pachara Kongwat Mai is top of the access list for those players not otherwise exempt. So he's going to get his playing privileges for next year, but it's so, so important for these players to make sure on one list or another that they've got enough money in the bank, enough points to be playing in 2018.
Yeah, and I like the access list because it gives the players the chance that don't play in the big money events, that are playing in the sort of the smaller events, a chance to get onto the tour. Because obviously if you're playing in Rolex series and they're 8 million, 7 million, whatever, and suddenly you're into a 1 million event, you can play nicely, but obviously you're not going to get the financial return and the points for the Race of Dubai list. So, like you say, there's still some guys, and the one name that comes, you know, jumping out, we've mentioned Portugal, he was a winner there, is Tom Lewis. Tom Lewis is 128th on the Race to Dubai, so he's outside the top 100, and he's also, I think, 11th qualifier at the moment on the access list. So big few weeks for Tom Lewis coming up, just to name a few.
Indeed, there are some very good players on the bubble we will watch with interest over the course of the next few weeks. In other news, on the PGA Tour, American Justin Thomas lifted the FedEx Cup as Xander Schauffele became the first rookie to win the season-ending tour championship. Thomas's second place was enough to secure the $10 million rankings prize.
I'm bummed to not, you know, not be in a playoff and have a chance to win. But as a, you know, a gutsy birdie Xander made on 18, that was a hell of a drive he hit. And he obviously had a great week. So I was battling a tough competitor. Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to win the golf tournament. And those last couple holes, I was just looking to see where Xander and the other guys were at to try to get it done. But it's a tremendous honor. And I'm really excited to have my name on the trophy.
Thomas takes the cash, Paul. Yeah, it's not a bad week's work, is it?
Well, five wins. He's talking about winning all the time. It's a totally different mindset that we mentioned before with some of the players that are actually trying to hang on to the playing privileges. He's out there. He's done it all before. He just wants more. And it was fantastic to see him play that stretch.
What about the winner, Xander Schauffele, who's done remarkably well, of course, to win? We started to see him on leaderboards in major tournaments over the course of the summer. This is a kid who could go far.
Well, he's already gone a long way, Dan, hasn't he? And it's a name that was new to most of us this season. He's progressed, as you say. He's been on top of leaderboards week in, week out. He's made the top 30 in the FedEx, so that tells you the level of golf that he's played. And to go and win in the manner that he did against the top 30 players in the US is, well, it's a fantastic achievement for him. And certainly, as Justin was saying, the way he played 18, he smashed the drive miles down there, iron short, two putts from the edge of the green, and there's your champion.
32nd in the world now. England's Paul Casey, led by two overnight, but three bogeys on the front nine saw him slip back. He eventually finished with a 73 to claim fifth place. He's going to be disappointed with that, Paul. I didn't think, watching it last night, he did that much wrong. Seemingly, every single time he made just a small mistake, he was punished for it.
That's right. The momentum was against him, wasn't it? And the opposite for Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas made a couple of nice putts on the front nine for pars to keep that momentum going. Unfortunately, Paul Casey didn't. It's hard when you're chasing, and he just came up short at the end.
A lot was made about his final round tour average on the television coverage. Is that such a big thing, do you think, when we look at the golf? We know that Sundays are set up a little bit differently. Does it get into a player's mindset at all?
I'm sure it does. Obviously, when you're leading, your mindset is slightly different. Yes, you would love to go out and be cavalier and shoot 63, 64, 65, whatever it would be. But it was a different mindset for Paul, and he didn't have that momentum. The first 3 days, all the putts are going in nicely. For whatever reason, on that final day, the putts don't go in. You can't win if you don't hold putts. And unfortunately for him, in a field as good as that, people just overtook him.
Of course, Open champion Jordan Spieth led the standings, the FedEx Cup standings at the start of the week, but he tied seventh overall in Atlanta. That left him in second place overall for the FedEx Cup. Next, we need the world rankings, and we should mention that Lukas Bjerregaard is up to 193rd in the world from 387. But what about the boys at the top? Paul, you've got the top 10.
In 10th place, Sergio Garcia. 9th is Henrik Stenson. 8th, Ricky Fowler. 7th, Jason Day. 6th, Rory McIlroy. Fifth is John Rahm. Fourth, Justin Thomas. Third, Hideki Matsuyama. Second is Jordan Spieth. And top of the lot, Dustin Johnson.
Are we getting a little bit concerned about the Ryder Cup next year with all these American players playing so well and now populating the top of the world rankings like they haven't done for quite some time?
Yeah, a lot can happen in golf in a 12-month period to when the Ryder Cup comes round again. I'm not particularly worried at this moment in time. I think Europe will put out a very, very strong team indeed. And of course, have home knowledge of the Golf de National in Paris.
Yeah, a little bit more news regarding Le Golf National, which will host next year's Ryder Cup, as we've just been noting. And it will also be the venue for the 2024 Paris Olympic Games golf competitions. Elsewhere, Finland's Tapio Pulkkinen claimed his maiden European Challenge Tour title by overcoming Chase Koepka in a three-hole playoff at the Kazakhstan Open. Terrific playing for Pulkkinen, another player that's coming through the ranks, it would appear. Chase Koepka has done brilliantly on the Challenge Tour as well. And we're seeing these players not just go from Challenge Tour to European Tour, but onto major glory as well in some cases.
Yeah, very much so. We've known for a number of years now the strength in depth on the Challenge Tour, and the guys are playing so hard just to get the dream start on the European Tour. And then, of course, beyond that, and we've already had a number of major winners come through that Challenge Tour, as we've mentioned in previous podcasts, Dan.
Time to look ahead to this week's action on the European Tour now. The British Masters, supported by Sky Sports in the northeast of England at close house. So pretty handy for the in-form Graham Storm.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I've been looking forward to it all year. You know, just roll out of bed and drive up there and play golf. You know, it should be fun and hopefully it'll be a great week. I'm sure it'll be well supported by all the public.
Graham Storm, who will have the comforts at home this week. We've got some inside info in the studio as well, Paul, because you've played the venue this year.
Yes, I did. I played in a Euro Pro event earlier on in the year. I'm not sure the configuration of the holes as it's going to be played this week up at Close House. They can reroute the course in various different ways, but I do know that they're going to play the members' ninth as the 18th, and that's a tough par 3, 200 yards plus, over water, a very narrow green, out of bounds wall behind it, so they can get the grandstands around there. It's going to be a fantastic finishing hole.
Not the longest course, fairly tight, I believe.
No, it's not the longest course. It's built on the side of the hill, so there's a lot of elevation changes, some tricky greens, some really, really slopey greens. So depending on where the pins and the holes are cut on a particular day, if the wind does blow, the players could have some, you know, real problems. But it's in great condition, and as Graham Storm was alluding to there, they're going to have some of the most knowledgeable and vociferous fans in the northeast of England coming this coming week.
Yeah, it's going to be packed, and there's some brilliant players to watch as well. Lee Westwood is hosting, so more media duties for Lee. Sometimes that can take a little bit out of players, but he played well in the KLM Open. We can't discount him, can we, this week?
You can never discount Lee Westwood. Home course knowledge. I think he's been the touring pro at Close House since 2011, so he knows the course. He's been involved in the redesign of some of the holes, adding bunkers, extending tees back. So it's pretty much a course that, well, nobody's going to be as familiar with it as Lee. So that gives him an advantage. But like you say, on the downside, Dan, he's going to be asked to do interviews. He's going to be front of house, meeting and greeting all the players. He's going to have a lot of stuff that he wouldn't normally have to contend with. But, I'm looking for Lee Westwood to be right at the top of that leaderboard.
Biggest galleries surely will be following Rory McIlroy. It's a real treat to get him in a regular European Tour event such as this in the British Isles as well. Can we see, do you think we'll see a turnaround in form with Rory? Because he's had his issues over the course of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's only a question of time when Rory will turn this form around and we start seeing him on top of the podium again. He is slipping down rankings week by week, but we know there's an injury problem there. Quite the severity of it, we're not sure. Rory knows best, but it is great that he's supporting the European Tour, and what a thrill for the North East galleries.
Likewise, Sergio Garcia, because we just don't see him, do we, playing UK events unless it's an Open Championship. Brilliant to see the Spaniard here.
Yes, it is, and it's tough for the great players, you know, that are in such demand week in, week out. They can only play so many weeks in the year. And, you know, Miguel Jimenez is playing up there as well. So the two Spaniards will be up there. I'm sure they'll be sharing a Rioja and certainly not a cigar for Sergio. But I'd imagine they'll be playing a practice round together at some point or spending some time. So it's a who's who of European stars, isn't it, playing this week? Fantastic field assembled.
Defending champion is Alex Norén, who won at the Grove 12 months ago. Completely different course, obviously. We need some players to follow. Which two do you like this week, Paul?
Well, I'm sticking with the Northern England theme. I'm going to go for Lee West. We've mentioned him being the host around there and the local knowledge. And just a little bit further south from Sheffield, I'm going to go for Matthew Fitzpatrick. He's already been a winner of the British Masters at Woburn a couple of years ago. And I think Fitz's got a great game, just suited perfectly to the layout at Close House.
I'm going to go for Jordan Smith as my main pick, who, of course, won on the European Tour in Germany some four starts back. Hasn't really played particularly well since, but he's had a little bit of time off. Didn't play Portugal. So I'm hopeful that Jordan Smith will come good. And for my second pick, Nacho Elvira, who potentially is a little bit like Lucas Bjerregaard. He's been knocking on the door recently. A number of top tens over the course of the summer. Those will be my two to follow. And that is your lot for now. Next week, we'll look back on the action from the British Masters, supported by Sky Sports, and look ahead to the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship at St Andrews, Carnoustie and King's Barnes. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And do leave us a review if you're downloading the podcast from iTunes. But for now, from Paul Eales,
wish you good golfing,
and myself, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We'll see you next time. We'll